You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Have you ever wondered who the Mary was from Bloody Mary? If the Loch Ness Monster was real, or if Ouija boards actually worked? On each episode of the family-friendly Unspookable, we look at the histories and mysteries behind your favorite scary stories, myths, and urban legends to get the real stories behind the scares. Want to solve your next mystery? Find and follow Unspookable now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like, who art Ed?
I'm trying to spice it.
Who art it? Mr. Wood, art Ed me.
Yeah. Either way, it's ambiguous. It works on so many levels.
I know.
That's
off
to a great start.
Welcome to Who Arted, where we explore visual arts in an audio medium. I'm your host, Kyle Wood. And today, we're going to be looking at Paul Cézanne. Now, if you're listening on Amazon Music, Spotify, or any of the other platforms that support episode-specific cover art, you should be able to see the image as you're listening. Paul Cézanne was born January 19th, 1839. His father was a banker. He had actually co-founded a bank, so the family was pretty well off. It seems like he had a pretty good childhood. He went to College Bourbon, where he became friends with other creative types, Emile Zola, for example. Zola went on to become a writer, and Baptistine Baye, who would teach about optics and acoustics and, you know, a little bit of foreshadowing there. Cézanne's father wanted Paul to eventually take over the family business and run the bank. Initially, he was kind of going along with that. So Paul Cézanne studied the law, but he just wasn't really into it. He continued studying art on the side. In 1859, Paul Cézanne's father bought an estate, translates to the House of the Wind, Jardin de Buffon, or something along those lines. Forgive me, I'm not a French speaker. And Cézanne loved the place. He lived and worked there for years. He loved painting the house and the trees around it. In 1860, he actually got permission to paint big murals in the drawing room. He painted the Four Seasons, but as a joke, he signed them Ingres and dated them 1811. So at the time, there was a work Ingres had completed in 1811 on display nearby. So eventually, Paul Cézanne fully dedicates himself to art. He did that at the encouragement of Zola and others. And this, for a while, caused a little bit of a falling out with his father. But his dad eventually came around, but only after Paul agreed to, like, dedicate himself earnestly to art. Cézanne inherited a massive amount of money. He went to inherit like 400,000 francs. So he never really had to worry about money, but his father wanted him to be working hard and not just, you know, laying back and resting on the inheritance. And from everything I've read, Cézanne took that seriously. He applied to Beaux-Arts. He was rejected though. So he ended up at the Académie Suisse, where he met Pizarro, among others. Pizarro was about 10 years older at the time. He mentored him. And Cézanne kind of fell in with the avant-garde artists of that time. And the avant-garde at that time was largely impressionistic. So in 1863, he's working with other artists. You know, he's getting to know people like Renoir, Monet. And in 1863, people like the Impressionists, who were just tired of being constantly rejected by the Paris Salon, they actually set up the Salon des Refusés. Again, forgive me on the pronunciation. It translates to the Salon of the Rejected. They set it up right next to the official Paris Salon. And that's where works like Monet, Manet, Pizarro, and Cézanne exhibited. Now, as I look at Cézanne's work, the thing that really strikes me is the way that it feels like a study. his work is always about these technical aspects in my mind. I see the brushstrokes defining the planes. I see the way he's experimenting with colors and the way that I am so consciously aware that I am not looking at a landscape. I am looking at his interpretation of the landscape. I'm looking at how he has translated those natural elements into a painted scene. I can see how he's using the brushstrokes to define the different planes. I mean, Paul Cézanne famously wanted to try to reduce everything to the sphere, the cylinder, the cone, and the cube. And as I look at his work, one of the famous ones that we talked about in the full episode, which I recorded with Dr. Lex from the Lux Sci podcast, we were talking about Mont Saint-Victoire, which Cézanne painted several copies. He painted this mountain 30 times. It was big and looming large over his hometown. And it was something that he returned to over and over and over again. And I think what's interesting is in his paintings, we see almost this synthesis of these different views coming together. And that's what I always remember about Cézanne's work. My favorite stuff by him would probably be his still lives. But there's this step forward in painting that we see with Cézanne that other artists really ran with, where it becomes so much about the process. We're looking at various subjects, but I feel like in a large way, the true subject is painting itself and the process itself laid out on the canvas. You know, he's kind of a painter's painter. And that's why so many great artists fell in love with Cézanne. And we see his influence echoing through paintings and art history up through today. And of course, if you want to learn more, check the show notes. I'm going to put a couple of links in there, including the link to the full episode we recorded on Cézanne.
This concludes this week's episode of Who Arted, part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. If you found this tolerable, please leave a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. You can find images of the work being discussed this week and every week on social media at Who Arted Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and of course on the website whoartedpodcast.com. Podcast done.